Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rob Fisher is the Memphis Grizzlies sideline and pregame and postgame host for the Grizzlies on Bally Sports. He's on X at the Fish Nation. He joins now via the phone line. Rob, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I am doing well. How was your weekend? Was it well spent?
It was a good, well, you know, had soccer tournament.
Okay.
So, not me, my daughter.
Okay.
Soccer tournament. So
I figured. I didn't know if you still had. I didn't know if there was like a grown man's league for soccer, but there probably.
No, hell no. I don't. I've retired. I've retired from all sports because the last thing I want to do the rest of my life is go to rehab.
Yes,
that's it. So I'm trying to avoid that the rest of my life.
I hear you.
But it was good. We avoided the rain all weekend. That was good. I was able to watch the Derby. Able to watch a little baseball, some basketball, some hockey. It's an exciting time of year, and I've enjoyed the postseason. Probably the hockey even a little bit better than the baseball because I think it's been more competitive.
Yeah, the hockey's
the basketball. I meant the basketball.
Well, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. Hockey is like one of the more underrated postseasons in sports right now, just because people don't really latch on to hockey, especially in this area of the United States. But it's so fun to watch. You get a bunch of overtime games. It's very competitive.
You're like me. I mean, growing up in a hockey town.
Yep.
You know, it's different, and it's weird. I mean, honestly, I moved here, you know, over 20 years ago, and I literally lost my interest in hockey immediately. It was weird, but I still watch the playoffs and enjoy the playoffs. Certainly the Blues, when they had their run to the Stanley Cup, was awesome. But when I lived in St. Louis, I didn't really watch much of the NBA. And then when I moved here, it was all NBA, and it was not NHL, and it was hard to find your team, and you know, the television contracts were terrible with hockey.
Yep.
I think hockey's making a big comeback. Their studio shows on TNT and ESPN are very good.
Yep.
The analysts they have are very good. I think the broadcast of the game's great. I think hockey announcers, the ones that we have, are awesome. So it's been fun to watch. Postseason hockey is It's different than anything else, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
And I've told my listeners this. I think you're probably on the same. You're probably with me on this. You can call me fair weather all you want, but I did watch the Blues go to the playoffs however many times in a row growing up and not get to the Stanley Cup or win a Stanley Cup. They finally got it done a few years back in 2019. But when the Blues are back in the playoffs, I'll probably be a lot more involved with the NHL season. Or when the Blues are playing well during the regular season, I might be a lot more involved in the NHL season.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes me fully fair weather, but I think there's a lot of people like that with baseball and with the NHL.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt. I mean, it's like baseball. Jeez, it's hard to watch my favorite team right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's tough to watch them. But the good thing is having a couple of TVs and having the go back button, you know, watching a pitch here and there between a couple of shifts on the ice or couple of trips up and down the floor, you know, I can speed it up a little bit.
I hear that. Now, holler at me about, did you watch a Tom Brady roast? That was damn good. I enjoyed that.
I did not watch the roast.
Okay.
I think I've seen the entire roast because I've watched every
through clips. Yes.
Of the roast. So I've seen a lot of it, but like a lot of people are saying, Nikki Glaser was amazing, and I'm a huge fan of roasts.
St. Louis legend, by the way. St. Louis legend, Nikki Glaser.
Shout out Nikki Glaser. But it's great because I've watched roasts for years on Comedy Central, and I think they're all. I think Jeffrey Ross, Nikki Glaser. I think they're hysterical. And last night's was unbelievable. I mean, my favorite thing that she did was when she did the crypto joke with Brady and said that
Gronk thought it was me.
And she did a nice little impression of
me. Gronk knew that wasn't real money. Yeah, that was pretty good.
No, not real money. Yeah, that was hysterical. But it was. I mean, her whole set was incredible, and you know, Kevin Hart was great, and Belichick, man. Seeing Belichick on television on ESPN and seeing him in a situation like that, I mean, it's amazing to see that he actually has a personality.
Yeah, it's still, you know, like his delivery's dry, but there's definitely a personality that he never showed when he was the coach of the Patriots.
No, and some of the things they said about him last night, my God, Julian Edelman was on fire.
Yeah, Julian, I mean, I'll say this, though, like they're, you know, between the Aaron Hernandez stuff and some like the divorce between Giselle and Brady, and then there was a couple of jokes Jeff Ross tried to make about Bob Kraft and massages. There were some cringeworthy moments, but I think that's what makes comedy great at times, is it makes you so uncomfortable that you have no choice but to laugh.
Yes. And this is when you're doing a roast, that's what you sign up for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so for how cringeworthy it gets, it's like you knew it was coming.
Yes.
And so it helps a little bit with the cringeworthy, because then you can still kind of laugh and not feel bad about it. But it's they step right up to the line, if not tip their toes over it a bunch of times. And but it's funny. I mean, when you're sitting in that chair, you know you're getting that. And so for the rest of us, we can laugh. But,
yep.
You know, hey, Kim Kardashian, well, you showed up. You had to know that was coming.
Yeah, she got booed like crazy. Oh, my gosh. I mean, she finally got her jokes off.
Why are we booing her? Why are we booing Kim Kardashian? What'd she do so terrible?
I don't know. She's a polarizing figure. I guess we'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Now, I do have to, before we hop into the Grizzlies news, you have a new spot for you and Brevin's podcast, The Night Court. You are a Bluff City Media brethren with me. Let the people know where to find that, how to find that.
Yeah, we're teammates now, and look forward to it. We're actually recording our first podcast with Bluff City Media starting tomorrow. So this will be, we've done 84 episodes leading up to this. And now to have video and to, I think it's going to be really cool, and to be a part of this, to be a part of Bluff City Media. I mean, you know, I mentioned it last week when we talked about it, just the number of people that we know there and the number of friends that we have there and the respect that we have for all the people that are there, including you, just, you know, makes it worthwhile. We were doing this on our own, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were just recording something every week and putting it out. And, you know, I think it's cool to have a little more structure. I think it's cool to be a part of something. And I know the distribution and the networking and the promotional aspect of it's just going to make the show much better. So we're excited about it. Can't wait to get going. And, you know, we're going to keep doing the same thing. We'll be doing the show out on Brevin's porch or my back right. Or my backyard, or you know, we'll keep doing it that way and keep doing it the way that we do. It's just going to be we'll be able to be seen now, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love how y'all put it. It's the back of the bus conversations that you're taking on to air.
Yeah.
Right, like that's the idea. So when let the people know, when does episode 85 or the first one with Bluff City Media ultimately release?
Well, we are recording tomorrow, so it'll be out Wednesday. So it'll be out Wednesday, and check it out. You can, you know, follow us on Twitter, follow Blessed City Media on Twitter, follow me, Brevin, and you can follow the show at Night Court 22, and all the information will be there, and you'll be able to get it wherever you get your podcast, still without video if you want to go that route. Well, if you're driving in the car or whatever, you can still get the podcast that way, or if you're sitting at your desk at work and you want to watch it, you can do that now as well. So available in a couple of different ways, and we're excited about it. Looking forward to talking tomorrow. We'll be talking a little bit about the roast, too.
Yes, congrats, and can't wait for it. Now, on to the NBA. We'll start with the lotto because that's biggest for Grizzlies fans. We have the lotto coming up on Sunday on the 12th. I guess this is the first question that everybody wants an answer to. Do you have any inside information on who's being sent to give us some good luck with those lotto balls?
I have no information. I'm assuming Elliot Perry.
Okay, EP. That's the obvious one, right? That was the Ja Morant. Yeah. Well, like that's the good luck. The good luck's right there with EP.
EP's on a pretty good roll, so I would say let's stick with him, and I would imagine he'll be there unless for some reason he can't. And if he couldn't, interesting question.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there is some question.
My guess, if he's not there, my guess would be Zach Lyman.
Okay, that would be pretty straightforward. I get that.
I was going to go Wexler, but I don't know. It might be... It might be Zach. I think it would be Zach sitting in that chair. But I'm hoping it's Elliot.
Let me ask you this though: how much do you think the plan will change for the Grizzlies depending on if they're top four versus, you know, 5 through 8 or 5 through 10? Like, how much do you think the plan changes, or is it still ultimately with this particular draft? And obviously, we'll see the pre-draft process and how guys go through that and what they look like and what they hear from scouts. But or is it just going to be best player available? Do you think that there will be a change in tune from 1 through 4, the 5 through 10, or do you think that it's still going to be best player available? Let's go get a guy that we really think can be part of this rotation going forward.
I don't even think it's best player available. I think it's best player available. Well, best available on our board. I mean, the Grizzlies. One thing they've done through the draft years, I think, with this regime has been. They've really done a good job of targeting guys, and they're getting them where they get them. You know, whether it's too high or too low or whatever they're doing, they're targeting guys they want, and they get them when they want to get them and they feel necessary to get them. So I would assume whether they're picking 1 through 10 in any of those spots, they will target guys that they think will be available, and they'll see who's the best fit for them. And I think... by doing that, also leaving your phone open for possible discussions with other teams. So I think there's a lot. I don't think it's put a draft board of best available. I think the Grizzlies have done a good job of best at what we think is best that can help our team going forward. And I think when you're in that position that high in the draft, you do it. Yeah. So I would expect the Grizzlies to do that unless there's an offer that's out there that blows them away, and obviously that depends a lot on where they do end up.
Yeah. Now, talking with Rob Fisher at The Fish Nation on X, Memphis Grizzlies sideline pre- and post-game host for Grizz on Bali, obviously as well, part of Bluff City Media now with the Night Court, so check that out coming up on Wednesday. I never have affirmatively asked you this question, but I guess I'm going to do it right now. What are your thoughts on Donovan Clingan? How much do you like Donovan Clingan and a potential fit here in Memphis?
I like him a lot as a college player. That doesn't mean I don't like him as an NBA player, but Gabe, I've given up talking about if I think guys are qualified or going to move on and be good in the NBA. I thought Adam Morrison was going to be an NBA stud.
Right.
So, I thought Steph Curry had weak ankles and would never pan out.
Right. So you've given up on trying to project.
Those are just the two that come to the top of my head. I had. Here's another one. I had Shabazz Muhammad playing for Team USA in the Olympics.
Well, hey.
So my opinion of if guys can play in the NBA is way off base.
Well, you're talking about your misses. Do you have any hits, Rob? You got to have some hits along the way.
I don't.
They don't come to mind. They don't come to mind like the misses. You hold yourself to a high standard, is what I'm hearing.
Exactly. I was an Odin guy. I think most of us
were Odin guys, though. Like, I don't think we need to.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's an easy one because most people had Odin going to one anyway. That's just another one just to pile on top. But I like him. I like him a lot. And obviously what the Grizzlies are looking for, I don't know if he's a starting five in the NBA right now, especially for a team that wants to contend right now.
True.
But I like him. I'd be proud of myself if the Grizzlies said they liked him, and I'd be like, wow, I kind of like that guy. So good for me. But I don't know. I don't know. I look at Zach Edey and I don't like him, but if you got him as a backup center, would he be good for you? Sure, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of his at the next level, but again, what do I know? I like Klingon. I'd love to see the Grizzlies take him if he's available there. It seems like that's the obvious one that everybody's talked about since we started thinking about where the Grizzlies were going to draft. That seems to be the obvious one. So, yeah, I'd like him, I think. Now, if the Grizzlies don't like him, I'll take their opinion on it a lot more than I'd take my opinion on it.
And I guess the other thought process would be with the Luke Kennard contract and the team option of $14.7 million, maybe a whole lot of money considering, luxury tax and where we're at with the CBA. I guess the other thought would be find somebody who could play that role. But I don't know who at the time. I think Reed Shepard's the only guy, look at the top of the draft, that would sort of you'd feel somewhat comfortable getting rid of Luke in bringing him in. Like, that's the only guy I can think of in that type of role. But it's interesting to watch.
I do like Reed Shepard, too, by the way. So I don't know. I don't know. You might want to be careful with Reed Shepard because I like him. and I haven't been good. I haven't been good on picking guys. But I like him, too. I don't know. I mean, big seems to make the most sense. You have a glaring need for a big. And if there's one available there for you, you would think that might be the pick. But you can't get enough athletes and shooters. You just can't. And if those guys are available, you get them. Because you know the roster's going to change and move a little bit. You mentioned Luke Kennard. And, I mean, I think he'd love to keep Luke Kennard, but his contract's attractive to move. So, that's just part of the business. But I think you'd like to keep him in an ideal world, but it just might not happen. And if you lose him, you better find guys that can knock down the shot. So, I'm excited about the draft this year because it's important for a team that's right there on the cusp.
Yep.
You know, it's not – we don't need a savior. Mm-hmm. We need another guy.
Yes.
We need another guy that can play. And I think that's exciting about this draft.
Now, on to the NBA playoffs. It feels like the super team era, and obviously things could happen here in the future that could change my mind on this. Feels like the super team era is over with. I mean, you look at the Clippers bowed out early, and they added, they had the Paul George Kawhi experience going on for a while. You have the Suns bowing out early and getting swept by the Timberwolves, and we'll get to them in a second. And Anthony Edwards, they're just unbelievable, and he's unbelievable. But they had Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and they get swept in the first round. And then also you look at the Lakers, who, I know they have the one championship in the bubble under their belt, so they won the super team sweepstakes, but they've bowed out early after a 4-1 loss to the Nuggets. Feels like that super team era where you just get three stars or two stars that are complete superstars. It feels like that's not working. It's not working anymore in today's NBA.
I think the beauty of it is, and I say beauty because I root against these teams that do this.
Sure.
And to see them all out is fantastic. And the even better part of it is their futures look disastrous.
Bleak, right.
I mean, what are you going to do with Bradley Beal?
Oh, the Sun.
$1 million over the next 3 years.
Well, if you ask Matt Ishbia, their owner, he says that they're in a great spot. Everybody, 26 of 30 teams would trade for their roster.
Okay, I don't think so.
Neither do I.
And then Golden State. I mean, with the money they're over the tax and with the veterans and with not being able to get younger players or not being able to fill out your team, a lot of issues with them. And then the Clippers, they don't have any draft picks. They've given up all their draft picks for like 2029. And what are you going to do there? I mean, I think it's hysterical that these teams are in such dire straits despite having three superstars on their team. And what they're going to have to do is try to move these guys. But these contracts are so absurd. Yep. It's going to be so difficult to do.
Yeah, the Suns one, though, is the most interesting, because if I was a Suns fan and I heard what Matt Ishbia had to say, their owner, I would be like, that's the sort of the opposite of what I wanted to hear. You got the sixth spot, you won 49 games, sure, and you were a solid regular season team. But Bradley Beal's getting $50 million for the next 3 years, and he is completely, it feels like he has turned the corner from his prime. Kevin Durant's getting no younger. Devin Booker, obviously, is your guy, but it just feels like you're not going to be able to sign anybody. You don't own you own one pick this year of your own. And then through 2031, you don't own a single pick of your own in the first or second round. Like, that is just a terrible spot to be in. And I do have to give credit where credit's due. The new CBA and the luxury tax blankets and all those types of things, those have leaned and skewed and helped teams that have homegrown talent and then just sort of add role players along the way. And I think that's a good thing for a team like the Grizzlies. Like, that is a overwhelmingly good thing for a team like the Grizzlies.
Well, and look how difficult it's been on the Grizzlies. I mean, just having those three guys that are making the money that they are, how you had to move Kyle Anderson, you had to move De'Anthony Melton, you had to move Steven Adams. I mean, you had to move guys because of salary cap. So it's very difficult. And when you have guys who are superstars or star-level players and paid as star-level players, you know, it makes it very difficult. And the Grizzlies have three of them. Now, are the Grizzlies going to win without any of those three? No. But what the hardest part for Zach Kleiman and Jason Wexler is filling in a team around those guys with the money that you have. These other teams haven't figured it out. Phoenix didn't figure it out. Clippers didn't figure it out. The Lakers think they're fine. They just need a new coach, and they're going to go get Jason Kidd. Oh, no, he just signed an extension.
Ty Lue. Oh, no, he signed an extension.
I mean, what the hell? They think they can get whatever the heck they want, and they're not going to be able to do that either. And, you know, and their roster's flawed. It's amazing to me how many teams you go up and down in the Western Conference and see how their rosters are flawed. And the ones that aren't are Minnesota, Denver, Oklahoma City. Those are the ones that aren't flawed. Yeah. Sacramento, although they had injury problems down the stretch that really hurt them, you know, there were just too many flaws in too many of these teams. And just, you know, not enough. Lakers don't have enough. It's not a coaching problem. It's a roster problem.
Yeah, but let me ask you about it. Like, Darvin Ham, like, when it comes to him and his coaching prowess or style, feels like there's not a lot of timeouts called. Feels like he, you know, Anthony Davis came out. I think this was probably the biggest issue. Anthony Davis came out and said, sometimes on the offensive end, we have no plan at all. I don't think it's directly Darvin Ham's fault, but I do think he was a symptom of the problem, ultimately.
Well, maybe. But I don't think there's another coach in the league that could have done better.
Right. I mean, the problem is these front offices want you to maximize bad rosters. You know what I mean? And that's a flawed way of thinking.
Right, and to his backing, I mean, last year they make it to the conference championship. This year they had, 46, 47 wins?
47.
I mean, 47? It's not like they were terrible. I just think when you try to win – and you try to have continuity, You can't just be giving coaches 2 years. You just can't.
Yep, I agree with you. Or a half year where you have the Bucks and Adrian Griffin and Doc Rivers completely, you know, imploding that thing in the back half of the season.
Thing. I mean, how did that even happen? How is that possible?
I don't know. And then, like, going into this offseason, if they were to move off Doc Rivers, which I don't expect to happen, they'd be paying four coaches and then a fifth. Or no, they'd be paying three coaches and then a fourth. if they got rid of Doc Rivers, which I don't expect to happen, like I said. But he clearly did not maximize what they had. And obviously there were some injuries along the way, but that was rough to watch them bow out and the injuries they had to Giannis and Dame. And it feels like there's something in the water where it's like every injury to big name players is with their Achilles could be involved. Dame had one. You know, Giannis had one. And then Kristaps Porzingis is one we're going to watch with the Celtics going forward.
Yeah, and with Milwaukee, I mean, even both times they played the Grizzlies this season, you just watched them and thought, what is wrong with this team?
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't play hard, and they don't have a lot of athletes.
They didn't
have that dog
in them anymore, it felt like, too, when they played the Grizzlies.
No, they didn't. And so, I don't know. They're a mystery, and I don't know what they're going to do.
Yep. Now, last thing for you. Timberwolves up 1-0 on the Nuggets, and they stole one on the road. Anthony Edwards, man. I know that some of the, you know, older NBA fans get annoyed with, like, the comparisons. But, I mean, when we do the Michael Jordan thing, I know he doesn't have the accolades yet or he doesn't have the championships. But when you look at style of play, do you think that there's a comparison to be made between Anthony Edwards and Michael Jordan?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I mean, what he does offensively is ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, and at times it's just unguardable. Because I loved, you know, they even said the other night on the broadcast, I think it was Reggie that said it, he just said he's just finding his spot and going up and shooting. I mean, he'd have a guy on him, backing him down, get to his spot, pull up and score.
Yep.
And it was incredible how he was doing it. And then defensively,
yep,
that fire in him, that dog in him that wants to guard the best player and challenges himself to do it. Sure, he's got a little Michael in him. I always think the best players are the ones who hate to lose more than they love to win.
Yep.
And he competes like that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember it wasn't long ago, people were saying Anthony Edwards coming into the draft didn't love the game of basketball.
Right.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it seems like he loves it. I'll tell you that. If he
doesn't love it, he loves competing. I know that.
And the final thing here is, like, seeing the – we tried to generalize – with the Timberwolves, the Rudy Gobert trade in particular, right? Where we're like, oh, that's a losing trade. They gave up way too much for Rudy Gobert. On the back end, I may still believe they gave up too much for Rudy Gobert, but it seems to be working, right? I mean, when we look at teams that can match up with this Nuggets team, who's still the favorite in the West, like, they have three bigs that can really stick in there and compete with them, with Jokic. Karl Anthony Towns, you have Rudy Gobert, you have Naz Reid, you have freaking 18 fouls worth of big man to go in there and at least challenge Jokic.
They put Kyle Anderson on him the other night
right.
for a stretch as well. I mean, they can just keep coming at you with athletic bigs. You know, on the front end of the Rudy Gobert thing, it wasn't Anthony Edwards' team.
Yep.
I think at the time most people believed it should be Anthony Edwards' team.
But it was Karl Anthony Towns at that moment.
It was still kind of that power struggle, and Karl Anthony Towns kind of wanted to be the man on the team. One of the biggest things that changed this team was Karl Anthony Towns taking a back seat to Anthony Edwards. Because I think it's Rudy Gobert, while we did just tear up that trade.
Yeah.
What he's become is just a guy that doesn't have to be a focal point,
mm-hmm.
and a guy who just is another athletic big, and is just playing that role very well. You know, he's a defensive presence, and then whatever he does offensively, cool, that's bonus. But then when you can rotate him out, and you still have size, you got size with Towns, you got size with Naz Reid, you got size with Kyle Anderson. It's incredible that they can just keep coming at you with that size. That's why I thought Minnesota's the only team that could give Denver problems. And obviously after game one, they certainly did.
Yeah, and with all the talk, one thing this series, the Timberwolves run, you know, the win in the series has showed me is all the talk about Anthony Edwards, new face of the league. He's lapped Ja Morant. It makes me want to see Ja Morant back on the floor, right? That's massive.
already my goal for next year is just for Ja Morant to reintroduce himself to the league, because I think if he does that, the Grizzlies will follow and they'll be fine. But go on Twitter and or go on YouTube, whatever, and just search Ja Morant highlights.
Right.
And it's incredible to watch, because you may have forgotten how special and how crazy this guy plays, not only as a finisher, but as a helper, an assist guy. He does it all, and it's incredible to watch. And because I did that before he came back last year and thought, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember him being great, and you remember these highlights and everything. But when you watch a video that shows it over and over and over and over and over again, it's incredible to think he does it every single game. So I can't wait to see him play every single game. I can't wait for him to show us something every single game that we've never seen before. And for him to basically get back the league, because I mean, if Ja Morant's healthy, why couldn't he own the league?
Yeah, and just looking back at 2 years ago, I want to remind people that he did. The Grizzlies beat this Timberwolves team in six. So when he's healthy, when he's playing, when he's not suspended, he can be a face of the league, just like Anthony Edwards is showing to be right this second. So I just want to remind people of that before they shoot their takes off into the ether, into X or Twitter, whatever we want to call it.
No doubt about it. He comes back next year and has a Ja Morant year. We'll remember, and the rest of the league will remember as well. He's different. He brings an energy to the building that not many in the league do. LeBron, Steph, Ja, maybe Giannis is on that list a little bit. Guys that go into opposing gyms and the people are there to see him.
Yep.
Ja's one of those guys.
No doubt about it. Well, Rob, I appreciate the heck out of it. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Gabe, anytime, brother.
Yes, sir. That's great stuff. That's Rob Fisher, Memphis Grizzlies sideline pre- and post-game host for Grizzlies on Bally Sports. He is on X at the Fish Nation. Make sure you go check out his new podcast with Bluff City Media as well, with him and Brevin Knight. I mean, they take these stories and these conversations they have at the back of the bus on road trips, and they bring it to you free of charge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.